Please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to be moving on today to the fifth commandment given to us in Exodus chapter 20. We've been doing a series of studies on the Ten Commandments, and we've come to the fifth one today. Before we actually read verse 12 of this particular chapter, I want to kind of lay some groundwork. The previous four commandments were commandments that God established with the children of Israel specifically to exalt the authority of God over the nation. The fact that God was their sovereign ruler, that He was their king, that He was the one that established the rules by which the nation would live by. He was the one that established the laws by which the nation would live by. And so it's important for us to understand that the Ten Commandments specifically is an unveiling of authority. It's an unveiling of authority to the children of Israel. You have God's authority. As we come to verse 12, parental authority is established. And then as we move down to the rest of the commandments, beginning at verse 13, we find that we have the authority of civil government. That government has the authority to establish and to exercise authority over people. If you don't understand this, you will not understand the purposes behind the Ten Commandments, specifically to Israel, but also to all mankind. All but one of these commandments are repeated in the New Testament in the epistles. As we're going to see today, this fifth commandment is repeated in the church epistles. Very important for us to understand that just because the fact that the Ten Commandments are not exercised as specifically as far as governmental rule over the nation of Israel these days, the fact is that God's law is eternal. God's purposes are eternal, and they never fade away. And as we're going to see today, God establishes parental authority in the home, and He expects for it to be honored throughout life. Now, let us pray as we begin this. I want to read verse 12 and then pray together. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let us pray. Father, we do come into your presence this morning as a needy people. Lord, we thank you for the Ten Commandments. We thank you, Father, that you shared with your people Israel in a covenant form your purposes and your desires for this nation, as it was to be a witness and a lighthouse to all the nations of the earth in its time. Father, we pray that you would help us to understand and realize that these commands, though given centuries and thousands of years ago, they still have purposes for us this day. We ask, dear Father, that you might anoint your word, anoint the proclaimer of your word this morning to proclaim your word clearly and understandably, that we might be able to take to heart the message that you have for us from this passage of Scripture. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to read verse 12 again. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I think it's important to understand this particular emphasis here in relationship to who he's talking to here. He tells the entire nation of Israel, it's engraved in stone, that younger generations are to honor their mother and father as long as they are alive. Honor thy father and thy mother. So he's speaking to the children of Israel, and he's saying to them, if your mother or father is alive, you are to honor them. I think it's interesting that in our culture today, age is no longer honored. There are places around the world where age, in little pockets and places here where age is honored, but by and large, the culture is geared to youth. Everything about the culture is geared to youth. All you have to do is go to the mall. And store after store after store is geared to the youth. I feel out of place at a mall anymore. Now, I feel all right maybe in the Sears tool department. And there's a couple of places, a few shoe stores I can go into. But even in the shoe stores, you don't find the middle-aged shoe section out in the front. Okay? You know the ones that's got the thick soles on it, you know, and the gel inserts and all that kind of stuff? Man, that's for the old fogies. You got to go to the back, you know, of the store. Up in the front, though, is what? It's youth. Right? It's the youth apparel. It's the youth shoes. You go to a bookstore and you go in and it's youth, youth, youth. It's hollering and screaming youth. All the decorations in the mall are geared toward youth. You go to a family store like Walmart and it's geared to youth. The toy section is in the front. You walk into the store and kids immediately turn to their left at the Pace Walmart, and there it is, the Holy Land for kids, right? The Holy Land. And you walk into it and you stare at those battery-operated cars that they've got now, and battery-operated scooters and fancy bicycles. You know, where were they in the 1960s and 1970s? All right? Where you got the hand-me-down bicycle. If somebody in the church was wealthy enough to buy a bicycle, it was passed from generation to generation. And if you were the youngest kid in the church, you got it. The heirloom bicycle that was passed down from generation to generation. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You remember back in those days? Yeah. I still believe in it myself. You know, pass those things down to the younger kids. But you know, younger kids today, they're not satisfied with bicycles that the paint's missing off of it, you know, and the tire tread's a little slick. You know, when we were kids, we thought that's the way bicycles came. I mean, we thought they were like, you know, race cars. Race cars don't have any tread on them, you know, and my bicycle doesn't have any tread on it. I got a race car. You know, you're burning up and down the road. You didn't think anything about that. But today, whoo, kids today, if it's not brand new and sparkling and got all the latest gadgets on there, it's old. Now, it may be brand new, but it's old. You know, it may be, it's just so 2009, you know. Isn't that how they talk, you know? That is just so, I mean, it's so old. Now, wait a minute, Christmas was just 5 months ago? Not even 5 months ago. But it's old in our generation. Why? Because we're geared to the new, and that's youth. Now, what's happened? Our culture has come, basically, it is ruled by youth. What youth wants, what youth desires. And so whole industries, world industries, this is worldwide, whole industries are geared to youth. But what about mom and dad? What about mom and dad? Oh, we've got that taken care of. When we can't take care of it anymore, it's off to the nursing home. All right? Or if it's in Oregon and you've got physical problems, it's off to the doctor to take care of you. And by take care of you, it means you're dead. Okay? Euthanasia, which is a growing sentiment. How are we going to have universal health care when you have so many elderly people living longer? You know what the answer is? It's euthanasia. That's what the answer is. Oh, you don't deserve. You've lived your life. You've done all those things. We haven't. We're young people. We got our whole lives ahead of us. There's lots of things to do, so we're going to do it. And you know what? We really ought not to be burdened with them. That's the youth culture today. Interesting, this week, WorldNet Daily carried a two-part series on the youth culture and what it's doing today. Very interesting. This particular writer, and these first articles came out. He redid his articles that he did in 2004 and put them in this week's WorldNet Daily online source, and it's going to be in their magazine, I guess, coming out this coming month in May. But it's talking about the youth culture, and in 2004, this man, who's the writer, he's the vice president of WorldNet Daily, he went out, and they had a family retreat at Cape May, New Jersey. And after the end of the week, his 12-year-old boy came up to him and said, "Dad, I want a necklace like cousin so-and-so." All right? Now, he said it wasn't just a regular necklace. This was a big old gaudy thing that it was, I forget what they called it. And he said, "Why do you want, you never wanted that before. Why do you want it?" He said, "Because it's cool." And so he sat down with his son, and they talked about these kind of things. And he claims that he's a born-again Christian, but he sat down with his son. He said, "Son, why do you want this?" "Because cousin so-and-so has it, and it's cool." And he said, "Well, yeah, I know, but why do you want it? Is there any real reason for that?" And so he went into a long spiel about how he met with his son, and they talked for days about this, and finally his son realized that it was culture that was setting his agenda. It wasn't the fact that he really needed this necklace. It was the fact that it was accepted by the youth culture as being the end thing to do, and so therefore you should do it. And he explained to his son, "Listen, that's not how our family operates. It's not how our church operates. It's not how God operates. Therefore, if it's not how God operates, and that's not how the Word of God operates, then we ought not to do it that way. We should let the Word of God give us the principles by which we live." Now, obviously, we are influenced by culture. We're not wearing the same clothing that they wore in 1910. And I would imagine that you ladies are pretty thankful for that, aren't you? Okay? All the gussets and all the things that they used to wear, those tight-fitting corsets and all the hoops and all that kind of stuff. You're probably thankful, you know, in Florida, in the heat, that you're not having to wear all those things that they wore in 1910. So we have been affected by culture, and we will continue to be. Fads change. I remember my dad took us when we were kids into his closet and showed us some of the ties that he had. Do you still have your ties from the 50s? Yeah, he still got them. He's got some of his ties from the late 40s and 1950s that he got in his. He's got some Hawaiian ties. I mean, he's got some. And I remember as kids seeing those things. We put them around our necks. We were laughing. Man, those things are so old. You know, nobody wears those kind of things. But Dad's kept them through the years, you know, kind of a keepsake from the past. And, you know, it's interesting that certain things kind of roll over. You know, you got certain ties that come back in. Some years you got really wide ties. And you know, we've kind of hit a spell where we've kind of struck a good medium, I think. You know, they had the really skinny ties. I remember when I was in high school, they had the ties. They were knit ties, and they were cut off. You remember those? Back in the 70s and late 80s, they were cut off. So this was your tie. All right? And boy, that was the neatest thing in the world. You had to have that tie. We're all influenced by that. I'm thankful that shoes are a lot more comfortable today, aren't you? Certain things change. Boy, these shoes right here, they've got a rubber sole and they've got a nice soft. I love them, of course. I'm old, though. Okay? So you teenagers are like saying, "Oh, who wants those?" You know? Who wants those? We're all impacted by culture. And as Christians, please don't be a big dummy about this. We should not be impacted by any culture. We are. You have been your whole life. You've been impacted by the culture. But what we're talking about here, folks, is the spiritual aspect. And we have been impacted by the culture. And one of the areas that we have been impacted terribly in is this manner of honoring our fathers and our mothers. It's not like it used to be. God wants us, and this is repeated in the New Testament, God wants us to honor our mothers and fathers. He told every generation of Israelite, if you have a mother and father, you're to honor them. But what do we honor today? youth. Youth is honored. We set aside the concept of parental authority, and now it's all about youth, what youth wants. My daughter and I were walking the dog Thursday night, going around our neighborhood. And we were walking around, and there was a child out in the front yard screaming at her mother. The mother was getting groceries out of the car, and the child was just screaming, and they started a yelling match. It was embarrassing. The child could not have been more than 4 or 5 years old. But a screaming match ensued between the two of them, and we just kept walking. Even my dog took note of what was going on over there. Pull Sally back. No, you can't go settle that one. And we got back on the road, and as we were walking, Elizabeth looked up and said, "Daddy, that wasn't good. What if I did that?" And I said, "What if you did that, Elizabeth? What if you did that?" And she looked up at me as we were walking and said, "It wouldn't be good." I said, "That's right. It wouldn't be good." And we talked about that as we went back to the house. And by the way, after we got back that evening, she made a profession of faith in Christ Thursday evening. And it was a special time of just with the Word of God and talking with her in that regard. But it started as we were walking the dog and that situation that took place, watching that little child scream at the mother. She wasn't going to do what the mother. Mother said, "Go inside." And she said, "I'm not going inside." And the mother said, "Don't you be stupid. You go inside." And it was just back and forth and back and forth. That's not how God intended things to be. Honor thy father and thy mother. We live in a world that worships and imitates youth. It's an amazing thing for me to watch folks that get up in years try to imitate youth. They try to be a teenager again. How foolish. They aren't. You know, they just aren't. The toupee industry, you know? And it's not like we don't notice it, you know? I saw a guy this past week that had one, and I mean, it was a bushy one. It didn't match anything in the rest of the back of his head, but it was a big one. It was right on the front of his head, you know, and it was out of order. It was windy, and he was trying to keep it down. And I mean, it was what is it, trying to be younger looking, right? After all, if you look younger, you can keep your job longer, right? Well, I don't know about that. They're going to wonder about you while you got a big patch up here in the front. And you're trying to fool everybody and make you think you're young. And they're looking at you saying, "That person's old. And why are they doing that?" You know? The culture, again. The culture. Imitating youth. Now, we have a responsibility. This commandment, you read this in the workplace, you read this in the culture, you read this on a college campus, and they look at you and they say this, "That's so yesteryear. What are you talking about? Honoring your mother and father." Folks, the Bible tells us that it's the commandment with a promise. It's repeated in the New Testament. You honor your mother and father. And the Lord says the natural result will be a longer life. The natural result will be a longer life. Following God's Word in this regard. It is indeed almost universal nowadays, the disregard for the fifth commandment. It is one of the most arresting of the many signs of the times. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, please. We're not going to get very far today, I can tell. But we'll go as far as we can. 2 Timothy, for just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, Notice verse 3, the first part of this phrase, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Some people have said, well, this has only to do with perhaps talking about homosexuality and those things, but I think it's much deeper than that. As we approach the time of the Lord's coming, folks, you're going to see more and more in this world of people who are cold, calculating, careless, but no love. The love of men shall wax cold. We go on to read further. The love of men shall wax cold. What is that talking about? I think it was illustrated a week or so ago when they showed the camera that caught that man who had fought off someone that had attacked a woman, and he fought this man off. He was stabbed in the chest, and he lay there in the entranceway of a restaurant, bleeding to death. And no one helped him. Oh, one person came over and they lifted his head and they saw the blood and they quickly repelled from that and stepped away and walked away. No one helped. One person is seen with their camera on their cell phone taking a picture to send to somebody. But no help for that person without natural affection. Now, that's just one instance, but it happens all the time. Happens all the time. This carelessness about loving others, but specifically, as we're going to talk about here, this carelessness about honoring fathers and mothers. Now, unquestionably, the blame for most of this lies upon parents who have neglected the moral and spiritual training of their children, that they are worthy of neither respect nor honor. That's what we're training our kids today. We're basically teaching our kids by our actions and our inactions. We are teaching our children that we, mom and dad, are not worthy of respect. We're worthy of dishonor. We're worthy of rebellion. We're worthy of a bad attitude. We're worthy of that. Why? Because we haven't taught our children any better. We haven't elevated the role of mom and dad to the place that the Bible has it elevated there, whereby we rule our homes. And we see to it that our children are spiritually instructed and that they're morally instructed, that there is a hierarchy in the home, and that mom and dad are not equals with the kids, though the culture teaches that. That they were born into this family, and therefore there are rules in this family that must be followed. And if you violate those rules, there are consequences. By the way, there still are consequences. There are just some things you just can't take away. You drink poison, you're going to die unless something intervenes in between. There's consequences for that. There's consequences for smoking. You smoke, more than likely you're going to come down with some smoking-related illness. There's consequences. They're embedded in society. But somehow with youth, we have this concept and idea that there's no consequences for bad behavior. We just tolerate it. And then we wonder why our prison incarceration rate is one of the fastest in the world for the 18 to 25 age group. Why is that? Because we've neglected the Word of God. We've neglected the Word of God. So moms and dads, you know, it basically boils down to us. Are we going to instruct our children in the doctrines of the Word of God and establish morality and establish rules and establish the fact that this book right here is the authority for our family? If you do not, then you set children on a course of disregard for the fifth commandment. And then when you come of age, don't be surprised at what you have to face oftentimes alone. You go down here to our local nursing homes, and there are children and grandchildren that live nearby, but grandmother or grandfather, we'll visit him once a year. We'll go and see him at Christmas time, bring him a gift. Is that honor? No, it's not. But that's what culture accepts today. It is to be noted that there is a promise attached to this particular commandment, as well as a command. The Jews were taught to respect age and to care for their senior citizens. I want to take you through some verses of Scripture here. This is not a sword drill, but I want to walk you through. And we'll close with these verses today, and then we'll get into a further development of this particular commandment that's given to us here. But I want you to see the emphasis. Let's go to the very next chapter, Exodus 21. Look with me at verses 15 and 17. Verse 15 of chapter 21. And he that smiteth his father or his mother, he that hits his father or mother, shall be surely put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now these are the civil codes that go beyond the moral code that God gave in the Ten Commandments. These are the civil actions and laws that were in place that God shared with Moses. And he said this, if a child curses or hits their parents, what is the consequence? Death. Now that, of course, had to do with Israel. That's not in effect today, and I don't mean to imply that. But it does tell us a little bit about how God feels when it comes to children and honoring their parents, does it not? Let's go over to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, verse 3. Repetition here of the moral code. Verse 3 says of chapter 19, ye shall fear every man his mother. Isn't that interesting that the mother comes first here? Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Look over at verse 32, this same passage. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. What is the hoary head? The white hair. Ye shall rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. You know what it's saying there? Now this is just in terms we can all understand. That when you're in the presence of the elderly, you stand. If you're sitting down in a seat, elderly man walks into the room, you ought to be like a spring out of the seat. Why don't you have this chair? And stand. You know, it's an amazing thing. You go into restaurants these days and they have seating as you wait. And I'll see elderly people standing and teenagers and children sitting. And they're not about to get up. I'm not going to get up. Those people, they're after me. This is my seat. They can have it after I go to my seat. Now, we live with it. We've come to live with that in America, but that's not the way it used to be. It used to be if an elderly couple came in or an elderly person came in, you'd see the young people get up and said, hey, you can have my seat. It's yours because I respect you. And the reason I respect you is because you're older than I am. That's it. The person didn't have to have a notebook with them to establish to the young person that they were deserving of honor. Maybe they're war medals. Let me show you why war medals, therefore I'm worthy to sit down in that seat. Or let me show you my accomplishments that I've accomplished over my long life. And show the young person, I'm worthy to sit in that seat because of all these things I've done in my life. No, none of that. What is it? This right here. That's all. That's all it should be. Young people of Grace Bible Church and children of Grace Bible Church, are you listening to me? The white hair says something. It speaks of age. And it ought to be respected. It ought to be honored. That's it. Very simple. That's what God says. Deuteronomy 27. Turn with me there, please. Deuteronomy, second giving of the law, chapter 27 and verse 16. Notice, please. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say amen. Now, that's not talking about bringing a lantern up and setting a lantern up beside your mother and father. And, oh, no, it's not what it's talking about. He that mocks his mother and father. You know what it means to mock? Mom or dad gives an instruction and behind your breath, maybe not even out where you can see it, behind your breath, that old woman, I wish she'd shut up. How about that, teenagers? What does he think I am? Some kind of a servant to have to do chores around here, mumbling under your breath? That's mocking. Setting light by your mother or father. Cursed is he. That's what the Bible says. Cursed is he that mocks his mother or father. Wow. Pretty strong language. Proverbs 1. Just share a few more here from the book of Proverbs. Boy, there's so many in this particular book of the Bible about this matter of honoring. Proverbs 1 and verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Now get that. Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Ears and feet are to be dedicated to mom and dad. Hear and do. Move. Hear and obey. God's principle. That's what He's established for youth. In America, in India, in China, in Norway, all the countries of the world. God's principle is this: children are to hear and obey. That's God's plan for youth. Now let me ask you this. Where do you think the world rests in regard to that when it comes to our children? We are nowhere close. We are nowhere close. Look at chapter 16 very quickly. Proverbs 16, verse 31. Once again, God honoring the elderly, verse 31, the hoary head, the white-haired head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, here's something for the elderly, all right, that you can take away from this. For those that have gray hair, the gray hair commands respect, but you need to make sure you earn it. And how do you earn it? Notice it says here, if you're found in the way of righteousness. There are some elderly folks, and I've met them over the years, that I really wouldn't want to spend a lot of time around. There was one gentleman out here, I call him a gentleman just out of respect for his age, but he's long since passed away. He was in his 80s out here at the ballpark, and he used to give our umpires a fit. He'd stand right behind the fence, right behind the umpire, and jaw the whole time. I don't know how many times over a course of about a year and a half that I had to speak to him. I said, "Sir, I want you to go have a seat up in the bleachers. If you're not going to have a seat up in the bleachers." And then he'd pull me aside and he would tell me all about his umpiring experience and all about this kind of stuff. And he would sprinkle it with all kinds of foul language. And I had more than one confrontation. I finally asked him to leave the ballpark, not to come back. I did go to his funeral out of respect for his son. His son said, I can't do anything with my dad. That's just the way he is. I can't do anything with him. And I understand totally that he needs to be away from the ballpark in that regard. So he respected our decision in that regard. But he was a man that whose mouth and attitude was not found in the way of righteousness. Wasn't found in the way of righteousness. Just because you may have salty hair, if it's not found in the way of righteousness, you better get in the way of righteousness. But age is to be honored and respected according to the Word of God. We don't have time to look at other verses of Scripture, but I want to say this. I'm laying a foundation here of where we want to go. We're going to be looking at the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at the New Testament about this matter of honoring our father and our mother. We've got Mother's Day coming up next Sunday. We're going to expand this in this regard, how the Lord brings things together. Had not planned it this way. But the Lord, I believe, wants us to emphasize something that is failing in America. It's failing, not just in America, but it's failing in our churches today. Where in our churches, there is disrespect paid to those who are older. It's a disrespect of not just seating, but attitude. You have nothing to tell me. You have nothing to say to me. I know it all. I've got it under control. It's interesting that in Titus chapter 2, that our Lord instructed the elderly to instruct the younger, the men and the women. Give them instruction about how they're to love their husbands. Give them instruction about how a home is to operate. You older folks, you give these younger women and younger men instruction so they'll know how to do things. That is being rejected today in the church. In the church today. That's why we peel off the young people from the elderly and sitting with the elderly. We take them over here and we have all kinds of meetings of young people apart from the older people. That is a terrible mistake. And by God's grace, as long as I'm here, we're not going to make that mistake. Most wonderful thing for me as a pastor is to look out and see little Mimi sitting by her daddy. Amen? She's not somewhere else. She's not off with the young people somewhere else. She's by her daddy. But the church today is saying, no, we don't do things like that anymore. We don't want the children with their parents. We want the children with us over here because we know what kids like. We know what makes them operate and what makes them tick in this society, and we want them to fit in. Folks, you know what that means? It means, as you progress as a parent, that one day you'll be by yourself. You'll be by yourself because there won't be anybody there to care and love for you. I think that's terrible. I think that's the most awful thing you could say about a society is that the children don't honor the parents. The fact is, what do you put up with? What do you tolerate? How do you operate in your home? Because that's what you're laying out for the future. You see, our actions today, our attitudes today have an effect in the future. What kind of future do you want to have? Moms and dads, what kind of future do you want to have? Do you want to have your family gathered around you when the time comes? Or do you want to see them just scattered to the wind? Because they have no honor for you. God help you. God help us in our homes and in our families to get back to this book. God knows what's best, amen? He knows what's best. But we have to follow Him if we're going to have what's best. We can't follow the church. We can't follow religion. We can't follow the culture in this regard. We've got to follow the Word of God if we're going to have God's best. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we're touching on things that hit very close to home because it deals with the home. And Lord, we know that the future for moms and dads right now, May the 2nd, 2010, Their future depends upon the youth of right now and how we teach and train them according to the Word of God. Some 25, 30, maybe 40 years down the road, decisions made right now will affect us in the future if you tarry that long. Father, I pray that we might get back to the book. Lord, we've got so much of the culture in us, so much of culture's attitudes. It's so prevalent in our thinking and how we do business, how we train our children. And Lord, we're so busy that we don't even think about the future. We're not even thinking about 25 years. We just want to get them through teenage years and move them along to college so that we can have a break. That's how most people think these days, Lord, you know. Father, I pray that you would convict us of the sin of not honoring our parents and not following your word in the training of our children so that they will honor their parents. We pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts. Lord, bring about conviction of this sin of being careless in the teaching of our children, being careless in insisting that they show respect and honor for those that are older than they are and for their parents. Father, I pray that you'd bring about such a revolution in our thinking that we would turn back to Thee in this regard. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.